Blog Talk Radio.
What a matchup!
And what a team, Mike. Metro PCS and the iPhone SE for $0 on a network that covers 99% of people in the U.S. Oh, impressive.
Play with the best. Switch to Metro PCS on an unlimited LTE plan and get a 32-gig iPhone SE for $0. Metro PCS. Coverage not available in some areas, plus sales tax. Claim based on talk and text. Not valid for active numbers currently on the T-Mobile network or active on Metro PCS in the past 90 days. See store for details and terms and conditions.
Okay, we're going to go real quick.
Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here another week. And we have a very exciting show today, and you can see by the title, those of you guys are looking in, learn how about flipping houses and more and investments. There's so much going on in the world today that I think a lot of people are wondering where to put their monies, where to put their time. And today's going to be very exciting. The agents and brokers listening in, we'll go into this too on the next scheduled session. And so I'm going to dig right in because I know this hour is going to fly by. Mike Mazzella, he is Hawaii's number one house flipper, mentor, and best-selling author. He's a full-time real estate investor with over 220 deals completed and more underway. He really walks his talk. He actually owns 54 cash-flowing properties. And in the past, he was a national real estate mentor with Rich Dad, Poor Dad. We know Rich Dad, Poor Dad that way, but really Rich Dad, WIA, and Russ Whitney. He traveled around the country mentoring Robert Kiyosaki's students. And it's just a pleasure. I know we're going to run out of time today because there's so much to go over, and he knows that some people teach it, some people breathe it, live it, do it. He's done it all. Without further ado, I'd like to welcome Michael Mazzella. Hey there.
Aloha, Natalie.
Hello.
Thanks for having me on your show.
I'm so glad you were able to fit it into your schedule. I know you are just like crazy busy, and we really, really appreciate it. So it's been a while.
Yeah, well, it's good.
It's
good to be here. Yes. Yeah, it's been a while. I think it's been, 5, 6 years since you and I have known each other, right?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Yeah. I don't know. They say as you get older, it flies by, and it really does. I mean, it really, really does. It never went by this fast years ago.
I think so. It's like somebody hit the imaginary, fast forward button and we can't turn it off.
No, it's like, why did they tell us this years ago? But it's just like, you know, I am so amazed. We want to go through, because this will go by pretty fast, and I want to go through and what got you into real estate and go through some different questions, and it's just a lot to go over here. I was wondering, Hawaii, being the number one house flipper in Hawaii right now, and we still have we have a brokerage in Hawaii, the prices are so much higher. And I remember when a lot of investors were investing, even 2006, 2007, before the 2008, and then before the market changed a little bit, they could still make huge profits. And 9, 10, are you still finding that in Hawaii? Because our prices are so high. I'm just wondering how you're able to do so many deals like that in Hawaii, or do you find different parts of the country are better? I don't know.
Yeah, it depends, right? Because the markets will offer us different results. This type of market is a high price point market, and it's an appreciation market. So as an investor, this is good for wealth creation. In other words, to become a millionaire by flipping houses, this is a good market for that. It's not unusual to make $100,000 pre-tax net profit on a single house flip here. Now, on the other hand, if you're an investor looking for passive income, cash flowing properties, this is not the type of market to do that. The cash on cash return is going to be very low compared to what we would get in certain mainland markets. So, I've always thought it was important to look at the market first and then invest accordingly. So, Oahu, the Honolulu Metro is very good for wealth creation. So, the deals can be very profitable if you know what to look for.
So, and you teach them how to go through and find them and look for it and what to do all the way through it, huh? Well, Michael, what got you into real estate? Tell us about your history way back.
Yeah, okay. So, this was about 16 years ago in 2002. I was in a job, a J-O-B, a W-2er. You know what
just
JOB
about broke.
Stands
no,
for,
just
right?
I said that.
Just about broke. That's right.
I know.
And, I love my job actually, but I also felt like a hamster on a wheel. The more hours I put in, the more I got done, the more there was still to do, and so I wanted to try something different, and I had recently read, Think and Grow Rich, and I started learning about mastermind groups from, Napoleon Hill. And, I
Great
formed
book.
A mastermind group. Yeah, right. And, I formed a mastermind group with about five other people. There were six of us. And the purpose of the group was to, we're all W-2ers wanting to not be W-2ers, wanting to have a business of our own of some sort, not necessarily real estate at that point. So we would help each other with, due diligence, and we researched. I remember we researched a Subway franchise, a Papa John's, and we would just kind of help each other with, with the research. And at the end of the group, all six of us got into some business of our own. Me and one of the others decided, well, let's go and look into foreclosures, and we bought a little course. $250 home study course, and we started, doing some real basic research and going back. We would take our lunch breaks from work, and we would meet down at the courthouse with a cashier's check, and we would bid on properties.
Wow.
Yeah, and after about a few weeks, we actually got one. We were the high bidder, and I remember that after, jumping up and down and high-fiving each other, the reality set in and what do we do now, right? So, it turned out to be the perfect first deal. I mean, there were no major issues. We would do it ourselves. Us and some friends and our girlfriend, we would go in and we shampooed the carpet. We painted the walls. We bought new appliances, so it was a very easy, a little two-bedroom, one-bath townhouse in Mililani. And we finished, evenings and weekends, and we did all the work ourselves. And we put it on the market on a Wednesday, and we got a full-price offer on a Friday, and we ended up netting, me and my friend, $39,000. And, it occurred to me that if I just do this, twice in a year, I can replace my income at work. So as soon as we got paid on that deal, I went in and I gave notice at work. And I quit my job. And I left. Yeah, I've been happily unemployed ever since. the second deal that we got into, that one had a net of I had a gross of over $200,000. I'd never seen that much money in my life, but by that time I was hooked. But also by that time, I realized, okay, that first deal, we were pretty lucky. That was an easy deal. The second deal was
right.
It was a little bit scary, you know, because we really realized, okay, this can get a lot more complex. And around
right.
that time is when the value of having, you know, a better education, you know, kind of hit me. You know, and then from
right.
there, within
right.
a couple
mm-hmm.
of years, yeah, within 2 or 3 years, I had I was invited by, Wealth Intelligence Academy, which was bought by Robert Kiyosaki. I was invited to come out and apply, you know, to mentor, you know, so
right.
to mentor students, which I love doing. And yeah, so I'm, you know, off and running at that point. And that was, you know, it seems like another lifetime ago, but yeah, it was 16 years ago.
So you did that, you were doing that within a couple years of starting. That's fantastic. And then, so you were mentoring people too, going through the academy or?
Yeah, right around year three, I started mentoring. And yeah, right. So there were, at that time, there were like 50 national real estate mentors. And when we all came together, you know, I went off to teach and share what I learned. And that was exciting for me. But, you know, I went to teach, I ended up learning a whole lot, you know, from all the other mentors.
Well,
I think were some of the best real estate investors in the country at that point. So I really learned a lot, you know, from them. And that, of course, helped my business back, my investing business, you know, back in Hawaii. Too. But, you know, I made some great friends. I traveled all around the country, you know, helping investors, you know, get their businesses up and going and, you know, trying to get them off out of the cycle of just learning. And now it's time to start doing, you know, let's the money you've spent on your education. Well, let's start making that back now. Let's start getting things. Let's start getting offers out. So I would my students, I would gently make them uncomfortable. And within the first or second day I was with them, we would always send out offers, you know, and
really?
To this day, now I still mentor on occasion. I don't do it as much as I used to, or as much as I would like to. I only do a few classes a year, but now I restrict it here in Hawaii. But now, yeah, but that class is, I do 4 days, a 4-day intensive. And on day two, we're banging out offers, you know, so they're sending
already?
Out 20 offers per student. Just that's during the course, before the course even ends, you know, it's very much hands-on because I really think that makes a difference. You know, it's so
you're
much
really
different than reading or even learning.
Oh,
yeah, you have to. Because
the implementation, I think, is what stops us all from everything, right? Everybody. I mean, when you look at what you
I
could have, said or would have, it's
right.
that implementation, yeah.
Exactly.
Wow.
And
so
that's a big complaint. On the second day, we're getting out offers already. And that's one of the big complaints from, you know, students who you know, sign up for some of those bigger national programs is that, you know, they're not cheap. And they spend the money, but a lot of the students don't follow up. They don't follow up. And so, of course, that's not going to be a good outcome for them, right? So in my course, I make that. They don't have a choice. We're sending out offers. We're going to be looking, you know, driving through neighborhoods, looking for off-market properties. We're going to look up the owners and contact them and see if they're interested in selling, right? We'll be running numbers on real deals, you know, and stuff like that, right? So we just dive right in because I know that if I just teach them and they spend four days with me just taking notes and watching, I know that if they wait like 3 days after the course, they will fail. They will fail.
Exactly.
So I'm not going to let them do that, not on my watch. So that's why I'm, you know, we just dive right in when I'm there and we just start, you know, getting active and not just taking notes. It has to be hands-on training.
I love
it.
I
mean, it's kind of what I wish I had when I was starting. You know, I didn't, that wasn't available 16 years ago. There was nobody to teach me that, you know, and make me do the things that that I needed to do. So I try to provide that in the training course.
Are you doing that? Because I know you were doing your own courses for quite a while too, right? On the island pretty much? Or
right, yeah.
Doing
so
that,
that's right. That's correct, Natalie. So after I left Rich Dad, and Wealth Intelligence Academy, I don't know, I did that for maybe three and a half years. And then I started my own little training company here in Hawaii. Yeah.
Fantastic.
And then, and yeah, so I just, and dude, I do like five, six classes a year here.
Okay.
It's pretty thin.
Tell us how that works.
I'm busy. I'm crazy busy with my investing company.
Yeah, you're crazy.
I know.
You can only do so much, right? That's the thing that happens. I know. That's like me, too. I'm going, okay, I had to, you know, you have to pick and choose and say, okay, where's the passion that we're going to, you know, build and create? So what do you, when you do the course, basically now, can anybody, at 5 or 6 times a year, can they get in or can they get, is it all live or do you do kind of video and audio?
It's still live. And so when people sign up before the course, I send them some training videos and a bunch of material to get started so that by the time the course starts, then I do a live 4-day intensive where we're like 10, sometimes 12 hours a day, right? So we're doing like 40 plus hours of intensive. And I still teach that, you know, personally.
Great. So they can get in. Where would they, I mean, and how much would that cost pretty much for somebody to get in?
It's $5,000 per student, and it includes all the materials. It includes follow-up after they graduate, and a lot of, you know, some of the graduates take advantage of this. If they want to do a deal with me after they graduate, they're absolutely welcome to do that. If they need the – maybe they find
really?
A deal, for instance, but they don't have the funds, I'll put up all the money for it. You know, and we'll just work out an arrangement that, you know, that works for both of us, where I'll use my systems, my contractors, and, you know, all of that if they want to. Or sometimes my graduates say, you know, I want to just put some money into one of your deals and just make money passively. And that's fine, too. But most of the people who work for me in my company, most of the people on my apprentice teams, you know, a lot of the people I do deals with, are graduates of my course. I've made some of my good friends. I've met them when they showed up on day one in my course. Yeah, so it's part of the reason I still teach it after all these years because I get a kick out of it. I enjoy it, yeah. It comes out to be a very small percent of my income. It's less than, you know, 10% of my income each year. But I do it because I enjoy it. I have the passion for teaching. And, you know, the information is the gravity of the information can be life-changing for people, just, you know, as it has been for me. As I said, it took me a long time, right, to learn it. You know, so I try shorten the learning curve.
They don't have to learn trial and error. You're able – yeah, the learning curve that you're saving them is tremendous. That's, you know, you don't – the years and years of it, and then – the whole package that you're putting together. So can they do it also around the mainland? If somebody wants to, like the tips you're giving, we're going over, if they want to do that, what would you recommend? Because, you know, people are listening to different areas as well as Hawaii.
Okay. Yeah, so I have people who come from all over the country to take this course.
Okay.
You know, I have, like, executive chef who works on in, like, the Wall Street area, New York, who's cooked for presidents, who has flown to Hawaii to spend a week with me to take my course. And then we did a few deals together and stuff like that. And, you know, and to this day, we're good friends. I get people flying in from the neighbor islands. Basically people come from all over, you know, to take the course. And they get
a little bit
of Hawaii too, you know, while they're here.
Yeah, they have have a vacation.
What I teach is transferable, you know, to their local markets. It's
right. So they learn the systems on what to look for, what to say, what not to say, how to figure out. So you have a format. Do you usually basically tell them they need to make at least? I think we just lost Michael. He'll call right back in. I'm sure he'll call right back in. So we are here. This is Natalie Mullenix. We're on Realty Universal Radio, and Michael's calling. There you go.
Hey, I'm back.
Sometimes those calls drop out. Good. So what were we?
we
the
were
people
talking
come to Hawaii and learn
how,
and it's transferable.
Yeah. And how it, right, how it will apply to their local market too. And people have even taken what I taught them and invested internationally too.
I love it. Do you usually say, hey, if you can't, you've got to have a basic rate of return on this in order for it to be worthwhile, or does it make a difference based on their individual, goals and what they're trying to do in their time?
I encourage people to create wealth initially and then move over to passive income rather than doing it the other way around. Generally doesn't work if you do it the other way around. Dive right into cash flow properties, which will start paying you a small monthly income, but doesn't really get you rich that way. So what I advocate is for people to initially get some money for yourself, even if it's not in real estate. But I teach them how to do a course in real estate, and house flipping is a very good way to do that. And then take your profits and then start investing that into passive income, right? So for the returns, I've done both, right? I've done both, and I teach them how to do both, and how to find really good deals and how to get great returns and how to know the difference. So I like to get a 20% minimum return, ROI on a per deal basis, or 30% annualized return as a minimum.
Okay.
Yeah, and then that's what we shoot for. And then sometimes I'll do a deal that has a lower return than that if there are other things that I like about the deal. For instance, it's safe in that it's easy. There's not a lot of complexities that we have to deal with, or there's a lower amount of money involved, where we feel we can get in and out quickly. Yeah, sometimes I'll do one that's lower than that. But for the most part, that's what I'm shooting for, 20% return on the deal. 30% annualized.
That's really great. So there's other compensating factors that go. How does everybody reach you? Do they go to the website, or can we give out information for the company?
That's fine. They can reach me through my website pretty easily. It's honolulumentor.com. And that, they can message me through that, but also the messages will get to me or one of my people, but they can get some answers that way. And, it also gives a pretty good overview about the training program. Yeah. For those who are interested.
I love
in
it. I love it.
And those who want to invest with me, they can also reach me, that way too, or I could, if you want, I could give an email address, but.
Some people want the training.
Or they already know the basics of investing.
Right.
They just want to, they've got whatever. They have an IRA or something, or some money that they would like to invest and get involved in one of the house flips with me. And we will see if there's one of my deals where we can deploy some of their funds. The layout right now here on Oahu is I've got 29 deals in progress right now. It'll go up to 30 on Tuesday. We're about to close on another purchase in Kaneohe. And I've got 19, actually it'll be right at $20 million deployed into all the projects that we've got here on the island. And it's 100% money from private individuals, 100% of that. So it's none of it is from banks. And, investors get a pretty good, return. So,
fantastic. So you're doing now to finance the deals, when people, how to finance deals without using your own money. So is that what you recommend, depending, no matter where you are, to finance the deal without using your own money?
Yeah, Natalie, that's one of the things that's one of what I call the paper walls that keeps people, where people stop, they don't have to. It keeps people from getting into the game, so to speak, is the myth that this has to be all of your money, to invest. And in Hawaii, that could be intimidating, right? Oahu, the median price of a single-family home is approaching $800,000.
I know.
right? And that's
right,
only the first
right.
shock. The second shock is when people realize, well, what do you actually get for that $800,000? It might be old, you know, single wall construction, a house that was built in the 1950s, and, you know, it's only 900 square feet of living space, you know. So,
right, exactly.
Yeah, but that the
they wrap their brain around it. It takes a little while if they're not used to it.
And, you know, so the price tag can be intimidating for people. And as an investor, of course, you're not buying them for $800,000. You're, you know, we may buy them for $500, and but that would include my renovation costs, maybe I'm going all in at $500, and then the house may sell at $700, $750, you know, something like that.
Is typically
what it looks like. But people go back and say, well, wait a second, where would I, am I supposed to get the $500,000? I won't make that. It'll take me half a lifetime, you know, to make that much money. And again, it's just a different, it's a different mindset. We use predominantly other people's money, and you know, and we make it very attractive for outside investors to deploy their funds, right? So,
so the rate of return is going to be
If you look at the performance, for instance, of IRAs, individual retirement accounts, and they're pretty crappy, right? If you look historically at the performance, and most people just put them in a mutual fund, and you know, and I think what we have learned is that you know IRAs generally have been pretty bad investments, you know, for the owner. The only people who've made out like fat cats are the financial advisors, right? Who tell us, you know, to set up the IRA because they get their commissions up front, and it's not tied to the performance or anything like that. They make their money no matter what. And then historically, though, looking back at returns, it's just horrible. You know, so imagine going up to, you know, someone who's made maybe 3%, you know, annually in their IRA and say, well, look, how would you like to earn 10% in your IRA and be involved in my next house flip? You know, so they would convert their IRA from a traditional or a Roth over to a self-directed IRA, what's known as a self-directed IRA. And then they're able to self-direct. They, you know, so they can do, you know, put it almost anywhere that you can put a regular IRA. But in this case, they do not have to pay penalties because they're not cashing out their IRA. They're simply
Keeping it all in there. Now I've heard where people sometimes take their Roth, like keep the money in it, and then use that, right? They're able to use part of it as deposits and take over and take the profit and put it back in there. So that's what they're doing?
Exactly. Yeah. So let's say somebody invested $100,000 into like one of my houses, so $100,000, let's say, from their IRA, and they made, and at the conclusion of the flip, let's say they made $8,000, you know, in profit from their investment with me. So they're going to get back $100,000, let's say in 6 months or 8 months, plus another $8,000. So now their IRA just went from 100 to 108. In a matter of months, right? And the thing is that I could not give the $8,000 in profit. I could not give that directly to you. It's got to go back into the IRA.
Into the IRA.
Right. So
that makes
sense. Yeah, exactly. Right. It goes into the IRA. So I have some people who invest. You know, here's some from my IRA, and then here's some cash from me personally, and the money from the cash can go right back to the individual. But the money from the IRA has to stay with the IRA, you know, the profit.
That's where they stay out of the IRA. The penalties are not right. They're just being able
exactly,
to make
right.
sense.
Yeah. Yeah, they're completely separate entities. We do a separate set of, you know, loan documents, notes, and mortgages, completely separate because the IRA is a separate entity. But, yeah, I mean, it's an example of a good way that people can really triple the returns that they're making in an IRA. Yeah. A lot of people just don't know about that. I've got a lot of IRAs deployed into my house flips, you know, right now for, you know, different people. Yeah.
That's fantastic. I'm just amazed that you're able to get the house with a deal. But I mean, I know a Hawaii market like the back of my hand, right? I'm just surprised with the prices, you know, that there's enough room, and there is, I guess, because you know how to find these deals. Because so many people are looking for the deals these days. Yeah.
And we're, you know, so we're, we still, believe it or not, we still find, you know, deals right off of the MLS. And but we get a lot of deals that are off market. They're not on the MLS.
That makes
right?
sense.
We, you know,
right,
yeah,
that makes sense.
Because from an investor standpoint, everything is for sale. You know, there are
right,
20
exactly.
houses on
right.
my block where I live. There are 20 houses. I could probably get 12 or 15 of them if I offer them the right price that they would sell. You know, so the question
right.
is, can I get them the price
right.
that will make them happy but will still make sense for me as a good investment? And that's really
right.
it. That's what we're, that is what we do. And that probability increases when we have a distressed seller or a distressed property, right? Something
exactly.
going into foreclosure, I mean, inheritances, if there's evictions, I mean, all kinds of things that will increase that, you know, that probability. You know, so I just bought in Ina Haina in December. I bought a house for $1 million, and it was an old kind of trashed up house. I bought it for $1 million. And over the course of the next 39 days, I brought my teams in. We renovated the property for $150,000. Okay, so now I'm all in for $1,150,000. I put it on the market, and in 6 days, I got an offer for $1,550,000. I got a backup offer at $1.6 million. You know, so
fantastic.
That is, yeah, right. And now that's
yeah.
Not a typical deal. That one's a little sweeter than, you know, than most of them. But it just shows that this is an example. You can find stuff right off the, you know, MLS. So
that's
but,
fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah, that you can.
It definitely
right.
happens. A lot of people ask
yeah,
me,
amazing.
Well, what's your secret? How are you able to find these deals? Well, it's actually not a secret. Even in my course, I teach like 50 different ways of finding good deals. And in my investing company, I just try to implement as many of those as I can. We try to leave no stone unturned. You know, we hit it hard. And I send out a lot of offers, and a lot of them get rejected. You know,
right.
I send out
it
literally
is.
Every day. I send out offers every single day. Using a team, not one realtor, using a team of realtors.
Right.
You know,
right.
And most of them get rejected, right, to be sure, right? Most of them get rejected.
Right.
But that's okay.
I can imagine. It's a numbers game. Yeah, it's a numbers
yeah.
game, and you're just on you're
exactly.
on it. You know what to do.
That's
now,
exactly
do you,
right.
Now, what if it's a foreclosure, the foreclosures, and sometimes, you know, they're, well, with the as-is situation and maybe there's other liens on the property, you know, maybe liens that can't come off, I mean, would you recommend people scrutinize and stay away from anything? Or did, I know it's a case-by-case situation, but sometimes there's a foreclosure and it's got piles of liens, and some
right.
people can get them off easily, some can't. I mean,
right.
Yeah.
All so the, I mean, the due diligence that we do up front is crucial, of course. And
right.
in most cases, the liens are going to be removed at, you know, when the property closes, when you buy it. So in most cases,
okay.
it is
right.
not, you know, it's not an issue. And if so, it just means that the seller has got to, you know, pay for that stuff as it closes. So he's not going to get all the
right.
the return. A lot of that is going to go to pay off those liens that are on the property. You know, so every once in a while, we'll come across something where the liens exceed the value of the property, right? And then you're looking at a possible short sale situation. Or if it's
right.
not something that can be worked out, we walk away from the deal.
Good. You're careful with that. That's good. Too.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you, because I still have a whole bit. See, where I'm at, where, it goes by fast, because I still have so much I want to ask you. Oh, my God. See, now when it comes to hard money that's out there, that's all around the country, now the rates
right.
are lower than they used to be. The rates are lower
that's
than
right.
they were in the 90s. I've been in over 32 years, and it, but because
yeah.
our other rates are lower, do you, if somebody goes in and they want to get hard money and say they're having to pay 12% interest, just you know, off the top of my head, and a couple points,
right.
but they can get it for 2 years or some, you know, if they're only going to be able to get it for 6 months versus 2 years, there's a lot more risk involved. What, just shed some light on what you think about the hard money.
Yeah, okay. So,
you guys,
Natalie, you're absolutely correct. The price of capital has gone down substantially over the past few years. I remember, like, around the time I met you, Natalie, you know, hard money was at, you know, like 18%. Now,
right.
I just actually closed the loan yesterday, and it's costing me 8.5% interest.
Wow.
And 1.5 points, right? So a total,
wow,
you know,
really?
of 10%.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Oh my gosh!
How
quick does that have to be paid back, though? How much time is on it?
Well, 9 months. It's 9 months, so I can flip. You know, almost all houses I can flip in 9 months. Every once in a while, you know, we'll need an extension,
right,
or we'll, you know, get an extension or refinance it if it's a bigger project, a development project. We usually refinance them after a year, right? So, so there's a lot of money that is actually coming into the – yeah, I'm sorry.
Wow, in the late 80s, early 90s, I loved to flip. You know, this was a long time ago, right? And it's
right.
Like, wow, that is such a good deal. That's a good deal, really good deal.
Yes.
Wow.
It is. And, there, you know, so there were, you know, back then, Natalie – and I was making lots of phone calls to try to line up, you know, money.
Today,
it's just the opposite. I have, you know, hard money lenders that call me. I don't even take their calls anymore. It gets annoying. It's like cold call sales. The people who are trying to deploy funds in hard money. It's a good problem to have, though. You know, we didn't have the, you know, it's a good problem to have because. Now I just let them compete with each other, and I tell them, hey, look, I'm getting 8.5%. They're funding 90% of my purchase price. In some cases, new lender I'm working with, 95% of my purchase price, 100% of my construction cost, right? So I tell them, hey, if you can beat that, then come and talk to me. Otherwise, let's just agree not to waste each other's time. I'm not interested.
Right.
You know, and,
right,
and that's
that
my reply to them. But, yeah, I mean, I get lots of cold calls from, you know, these institutional lenders who are trying to deploy funds. And it's gotten very competitive in that space. But it's good for us as investors. That's good news for us.
Yeah, very good. Now, I think private people getting in, too, but, I mean, 6 months is probably too soon, too close. You know, somebody has to make sure. And then there are properties that, you know, depending on the price range where you have to, there's a 90-day when you're flipping it, right? There's the new lender wants to make sure there was 90-day seasoning when you're flipping it.
Yes.
Right? Do you run into that much or not so much? I guess
we're getting faster now in this past year. We're getting faster in our operations. And we're starting to hit that. And it did come up once. In this past year where we were in and out so fast and had a contract signed and we had to then redo the contract. And basically it cost us an extra three weeks to get 90 days.
Oh, okay.
It just came up again, you know, on that same house I was describing earlier in Ina Haina, but it's not an issue in this case. I accepted an offer and we were at about, I don't know, 75 days that I've owned the property. And that was not an issue because they're just not using that type of loan. So it's more of a lender requirement.
Right.
I don't
know
if it's FHA or something like that. One of the
it's a lot of the lender. Well, the Freddie Mac and Fannie Mac. You know, it depends on what it is. There's certain stipulations. So much has changed since the the meltdown in 2008 and 2009 when it comes to the lending. You know, not the private lending, of course, right, but the government lending.
Right.
And so much has changed that we all have to ask. Like, we know the questions to ask, but we have to all double-check because so much keeps changing. It's just, to protect the, you know, it's just with the other, when the Dodd-Frank came out and things have been adjusted now since then. But wow, this is, what you're doing is just fantastic. I think you should be selling these courses all over, though, so people can even do them on it, you know, because now it's like, it's amazing because you've got every piece of it covered, you're not, and you're really, this is great. So you also, I was noticing you co-authored a book a while back. What was, tell us about that, because it's a training. What's it, win-win strategies?
Winning strategies. And the book is called Win, and it became an Amazon bestseller in two or three different business categories. And, what they did was they brought together a handful of authors in a lot of different topics. Each of us wrote a chapter, basically. So it's a broad scale coverage of winning strategies. And there was like two or three of the chapters pertain to real estate, right? So it's kind of a book that talks about just winning strategies across a broad spectrum of industries and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun to be a part of that project. And all the proceeds from the book went to a charity and all. So for us, it was mostly just fun and a little bit of name recognition doesn't hurt either, you know.
No, it's always, that's fantastic. And getting out what you're saying too. And everybody now, we have just chapters. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Natalie, I wanted to ask, so a lot of your listeners are realtors, real estate agents, is that correct?
Real estate agents, we have real estate agents and brokers, yes. A lot of small mom-and-pop brokers around the country. And then we still have general audience because it's put in many places, so we have a lot of general listeners,
right,
which could be buyers and sellers, investors. But, what were you going
to ask? I wanted to address a topic. It comes up every once in a while. Real estate agents tend to have a love-hate relationship with investors and with real estate investors. They tend to either love us or they hate us. And the ones that love us are the ones where, she got a commission because that property that couldn't sell, I came in and bought it, right? Or that kind of thing. They hate us because, I just made a lowball offer on a house that you're listing and maybe ruffled feathers a little bit. So I wanted to kind of talk about that. I had one realtor one time say back to my realtor that, words to the effect of, I don't know what he's up to or what he's trying to do. And when I heard that, I realized, there's generally just a disconnect sometimes. And some realtors just don't really understand what we're trying to do. And I think I might be able to help to bridge the language gap almost. Like we're speaking a little bit of a different language. So for all of the listeners who are real estate agents, I would like to say this. If you want to understand how we think and how we operate and what we're trying to do, we are a largely different animal than most of the clients you may be used to working with. We're not, going to buy a house that we're going to move into and we're going to live there for the next 10 or 20 years. We're a completely different kind of client. And if you understand how we operate, this I think it could be beneficial to you. Because realtors are huge. They're a huge value.
Right.
A realtor, a good realtor who is able and willing to work with an investor, they're worth their weight in gold. And I have different teams of realtors who buy for me, and I have different team of realtors that sell my properties when I exit from them. And the main thing that I would say is important to understand about the investor mindset is for us, it is all about the numbers. We are not a good investor. A professional investor is not an emotional buyer. Okay, we tend not to care so much about location, location, location. For us, it's about numbers, numbers, numbers. So if the numbers make sense, I will buy anywhere in any neighborhood on this island. Whether it's in the high-end Kahala-type neighborhoods where they're multi-million-dollar homes, or whether it's in the in the lower working class or blue-collar the Section 8 neighborhoods, right? Yeah, it doesn't matter to me as long as the numbers make sense. So I am an unemotional buyer. I'm an unemotional seller. And it's all about the numbers. So please don't be insulted if you get a lowball offer, you know, from an investor. That is just how we roll. It's not personal. Remember, write
exactly.
that down. It's
no,
not
I totally
personal.
Get it.
It's
I understand.
Business.
I'm glad,
it's
I'm
strictly
glad you're
putting
business. That out there. It is.
Yeah.
It is. I think,
it's strictly
no, I
business.
Totally
it's
get
not
it,
personal.
Been, yeah.
Yeah.
If, no, it
if
didn't make
client,
sense.
You're listing a property, let's say, and you're listing a property and you get a lowball offer from an investor. It, you know, I am not offended if you rip that offer up and you toss it in the garbage. I know that is what happens to 95% of the offers that you know, I send out there anyway. I do not want to waste your time and my time either. If you feel you can keep it on the market and get a higher offer, then yeah, by all means, that's what you're obligated to do anyway. And we, as investors, we understand that. And so just,
right.
I would say, yeah, just keep in mind for us, it's about the numbers
great.
And it's strictly business. It's not personal. Every once in a while, somebody
it
takes it personal.
But you know what, you know, the agents have broke that one thing that there's just, it's something that when I know, and they shouldn't, they really shouldn't. And it's something that has to be worked on when agents and brokers do that because they really need to keep the professionalism there and present all offers. And one thing with investors, you know, investors typically will come in with cash, can close fast, no nonsense. They, you know, you look at your numbers, you know what you're involved in. You're not going to have the emotions on a J-1 inspection, home inspection,
right.
you know, that a regular buyer would. You know, so you're very, very
yeah.
matter of fact, and I love that. I love that.
Right.
I think sometimes the agents, I think agents and brokers, when it comes to investors, If an investor's commit, like for example, to find the deal and say, hey, wait a minute, I know an investor who would be interested in this. That's one thing, right? Like when you have a listing and you go, hey, I know who to call on this because this is perfect for them,
mm-hmm.
right?
But
in investors, the thing with agents, what happens with agents sometimes though is the time and value, and a lot of people, not just investors, just in general, not at all investors. I mean, sellers, buyers, and everybody. Think kind of that agents mm-hmm. and brokers are just out there and it's like, oh, it's no big deal showing us 20 homes or it's no big deal doing, you know, I mean, they're not respecting the agents or brokers' time. So I think
mm-hmm.
that's what happens sometimes with people when they go, hey, if you're I'm going to work with you, are you going to commit to only me? Well, you as an investor can't only commit to one broker unless they're going to be spending, you know, full time looking at every, you know,
right.
you couldn't do it.
Right.
So that,
right.
I think, is
yeah.
what happens with some of them because they say, hey, I can't, I want
yeah.
to do it, but I can't. If you're not going to commit just to me
right.
because of timing,
right.
you know, because that's the thing.
Yes.
But what you just said was such a good
yes.
point, though, to put out there to people
yes.
when they get emotional for no
right.
reason, you know, or take
yeah.
it personally.
Yeah, and I understand that shouldn't happen either. I mean, a well-trained investor should not be hounding a real estate agent to send me comps because I'm sending out 10 offers today. On all of that, we, you know, so I get in my team, we have access to the MLS. We're able to pull our own comps. We do not bother
right.
real estate agents unless every once in a while we will, but they're the ones making all the offers on deals that I find.
Right.
Right. So I'm finding
right.
the deals, not
right.
the agent, but I will bring them to certain agents and say, will you make this offer for me? And then they're
right.
used to making my
right.
offers, right? They're willing and they're
That's
used
great.
To doing it. And so they're making commissions, you know, 3% or
yeah.
whatever on purchases that I bring to them. And with the understanding
right.
that, yeah, you know, a lot of my offers are going to get rejected, but the ones that are
right.
not. And so then there may be cases where I'll ask you, help me with the due diligence or this or that. But generally, you know, in a general sense, we try really hard to respect a realtor's, you know, time.
Right.
Because I know it's not
yeah.
it's not easy to be you know, good at, you know, being a real estate agent. You know, that's a tough job, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think it's kind of it's a lot of work. But no, this has been
mm-hmm.
fabulous. We're almost running out of time. I want to put because I told you it would go by fast. We didn't even take a break.
You're right, and it is going fast. Can I add one thing
to
that last train of thought? And another thing
yes.
I'd like to add
yes,
is that I don't go out and look at the properties that I'm making offers on. Okay, so I would never ask a realtor, hey, show me the. It's very rare that I will look
right.
at a property
oh.
before making an offer. I make an offer first based on my running numbers, based on all the due diligence that we can do. We make the offer. If there's an acceptance or if there's interest, that comes back
That's
at that
great.
Offer price, then I'll usually send somebody out there to look at it. You know, let's get some better photos, and maybe we'll bring a contractor out at that, only if there's interest. Because, again, we're trying not to waste anybody's time here.
That's fantastic. I love it. No, I love it. It makes so much sense. You're awesome, Michael, though. You know, I know you, you know, you're definitely awesome the way you do it. And no, it's just amazing what you're doing to me on Island, though. I just knowing what I know, you know, you've got to be going through quite a few of them.
We have a lot of fun doing what we do.
Yeah. I got to tell you, so you would go to honolulumentor.com. to get more information too. Of course, everybody knows that listens to us, and then there's people that don't know. They can always go to realityuniversal.com and fill out the contact form, and we'll put you in touch too. But it's honolulumentor.com, right? Well,
yes.
Mike Mazzella, I'm just saying if they don't get.
Yeah.
You've got a couple things real quick. You can look at some of your projects on Facebook. So I see.
That's right. I was just going to say that. Yeah, so they can find my company, Turtle Bay Land Company, on Facebook. And track some of the projects, some of the before and afters, or they can just find me personally, Michael Mazzella, on Facebook, and you know, we post a lot of the, you know, a lot of the before and after pictures, and you can follow and track the, you know, some of the cool stuff that we're doing in terms of flipping houses too. Yeah, so we're pretty easy to find on Facebook.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Love it. Love to get you back. I want to do some stuff with you too. I'm looking at way back. I think way back, it's probably 2010 or 11, I think you had done a couple of the for sale by owner programs. You know, the limited service ones with us where you put it in the MLS. I think when I was looking back. Way back, yeah. Yeah, and then we have the buyer rebate too. But no, I'd like to talk to you about some of the other trainings and things. I think it's really, really what you're doing is fantastic. You're covering every aspect. So we are almost at the end, and I told you it would go by fast. So I want to tell us a little about, I noticed you had put together like a reality TV show. What's that all about, or what were you doing?
So we had it's been for like several years, like almost the past 3, maybe 4 years now, where we get contacted by independent producers who want to do a flipping Hawaii type TV show, and so this is not the networks, mind you, but it's an independent producer that will, you know, they'll sign you up. And they'll get some film of you, and then they will go and pitch it to the network. And so that happens every, I don't know, few months, actually. It's a lot. We get a lot of calls from people wanting to do that. And just, you know, over the years, we've never gotten picked up by one of the networks. But we've been pitched, you know, several times.
Wow.
And it just never really went anywhere. But, yeah, you can see some videos, like on YouTube and stuff like that, where we did some sizzle reels and, you know, things like that. We did. The closest we got was HGTV themselves, right from one of the corporate offices. HGTV saw some of my videos on YouTube, and they called me up, and they said, "Hey, we really like what you're doing. We're going to send a producer and a camera crew out, and you know, and they did, but that was like the in-house production unit,
right."
And
right.
But you know,
but
again,
like
they
fun,
just, right at that season, they were also looking for a different thing. So they're looking for a different theme, as it turns out. They don't want to just do, you know, same old, just different city that they've done.
Right.
In the other shows, I guess, there's kind of like same, same. So they're trying to break the mold and do something different now. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see. One of my guys said, "Oh, they're looking for flipping naked." Something like that, something odd and, you know, a little outside of the box.
We don't
want
to get you arrested that way.
Yeah.
Well, you can just keep the
kids,
keep them. Yeah.
But, I mean, we, you know, so we decided
after. Even if you just,
I mean, it's especially initially, the first couple of times, it was really exciting for us. But, you know, then the reality set in that the producers get really excited. But it takes a lot of time away from our actual real business.
Right.
So, you know, to shut everything down to do the filming. And after like
the second or third time
where we got pitch a network and, you know, nothing came back, I made a decision that, you know what, look, instead of getting our hopes up, why don't we just do this? Why don't we just say, we're just going to have fun. We're going to flip as many houses as we can. We're going to make as much money as we can. We're going to have as much fun as we can, whether there's a camera following us or not. And then that's been our game plan. And
I love it.
We just now have fun doing what we do. You know?
I love it. It sounds like you've got the system down to it. You have that system down to a science. And that's where, you know, it's so duplicatable, right,
systems.
With your training.
Yeah, systems are
with
very,
your trainings.
Very
I mean,
important.
You need to be very, very important, very important. I'm impressed.
Yeah.
And, wow, so that's, the camera thing, I mean, you could just pay somebody to follow us, or, you know, follow us around. We're going to pay you somebody, somebody that needs work or something. You know,
yeah.
It doesn't always have to be the professional camera, right? But just to pay that thing. Because I think some of it's funny. There's reality. The reality, when you think about daily life, I mean, our daily lives are funny, right? I mean, that's where I think all these reality shows got started because they just, you know, take the,
you're busy, you're doing things,
you don't have time. I have time, yeah.
Exactly. It really does take a lot of time. But that said, there are still so many times where we say, man, we should be getting this on film because what's unfolding right now, this is so cool, you know. But we don't have time to capture a lot of it. In fact, you mentioned, you know, like all the stuff we do put, like on Facebook and stuff like that. That is only, you know, so some people write me and they say, Michael, wow, you're doing so much stuff. And the thing is that is only scratches the surface. That what you see is only a fraction of what we do, what we're doing.
Oh,
and
I can imagine.
Because,
exactly.
You know, even though we're like a $30 million company, you know, now, I it's still a very
That's
small
fantastic.
in terms of people. So I do not have a marketing department. I don't have a marketing person, you know, so we'll throw a few photos up every now and then as we, you know, kind of as we go. But it's what you see is really just a fraction of what all the, you know, stuff that we're doing.
I love it. It's they're the real deal. You know, that's what the beautiful part is. I just sold a closed house in Manoa that was, he got it for under like 900 and something. And that's definitely worth $1,300. He's going to have to put about 100 into it. But one thing that was really interesting, they didn't know what was under the carpet, and then they pulled up the carpet, and there was actually Luan board under the carpet, right? So they just thought, okay. Well, then they ripped it up further, and beautiful, beautiful wood floors from years ago. This is a much older, you know, older property in Manoa. Yeah. And so I think you come across a lot of that, too.
Yeah, we
do. You know, ripping things up, and then, wow, it's like,
it's
wow, nobody
surprise.
Knew that that would be...
Yeah,
they must have covered it up in the 60s or 70s.
Right. Yeah, we get surprises on virtually every house that we bought. And some of them are good, and some of them are not so good. You know, surprises, right? But we do.
Surprises, right.
Excuse me. Yeah, we do.
Right.
We expect surprises on everyone. You know, like bad surprises sometimes are after we close on a house and we start ripping the walls open to find out that the termite damage to the studs is a lot more than what we expected. You know, that's not uncommon.
Oh, that's not good.
But we do, and we get good surprises too, though. Like you said, that's a good one. It's always happy when you pull up carpet and see the, you know, you got some really nice flooring that could be restored, you know.
Yeah.
That's always fun. Yeah.
That is fantastic. Well, I'd love to have you back, too, and we'll definitely all be in touch, too, because there's so much going on that you're doing that you can teach. And it has been fun. Tell us, what's just one, and then we're going to go, what's one thing you would like to tell everybody as far as, you know, the pro and con, you know, whenever you're investing, you still want to be careful because some people are going to be taking parts of their money or everything they've worked hard for. And, of course, you know, with your course, I think they can learn how to use other people's money and be a little bit more careful. Is there anything you want to just kind of throw out there that you find that you always – like maybe one thing that you always stick by before you say, you know, if this doesn't feel right or I don't think this is – something's not – is there something that, you know, a universal thing that they could look at?
I would say never delegate. One thing I never delegate in a company where I have to delegate almost everything because of the size of my company's grown to. One thing I never delegate is the due diligence, running the numbers and learning how to run the numbers, right? For people who are beginning, it's critical, and use conservative numbers, not optimistic numbers. And if your deal works using conservative numbers, you're going to be okay. And then pull the trigger and don't second guess yourself as long as the numbers are fine. Okay. Because the numbers won't lie. The numbers will not lie to you ever. And don't invest on emotion. emotional decisions. If you can boil it down to the black and white logic of numbers, you will be right every time. Don't use gut instinct, because that's right maybe most of the time, but not all the time, right? So we have to get it right all the time, and the numbers will never lie to you.
That is excellent advice. Excellent advice. Thank you, Michael. And